Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. It's good to be free. It is good to be free. But we need to remember to pray for Ken Scott, who is still in jail in the El Paso County Jail in Colorado Springs, a result of our peaceful but determined Dobson Pledge protest at Focus on the Family. I am thrilled to be out. If you heard any of the programs from jail, I think we did four programs from jail and a weekly Bible study in the book of Job, chapters 29 and 30. So that will be included in our Job Bible study album on CD when that is finally published. It was a great, great time, and I'd like to talk about it more. But first, a few headlines. A city in Florida, Brooksville, has passed a new ordinance instructing that city employees must wear underwear, and that they must use deodorant. So I guess they have a bigger problem in Florida with the Brooksville city employees than they have in the average jail. They must have a bigger problem there in Brooksville. That cracks me up. A law that says city, and you know why something like this happens, why a law like this gets passed? It's because people are cowards. There's somebody in some department who has a subordinate who doesn't use deodorant and doesn't wear underwear, and it becomes obvious. And so instead of him saying to him, look, good hygiene is a requirement for you working here. You have to bathe, you have to use underwear, and you have to use deodorant. Instead of him doing that, they pass a law for the whole city, which the whole state of Florida and the whole nation gets to laugh at them for. And, you know, churches do this, ministries do this, corporations do this. They think that by passing more and more and more laws, more and more rules and regulations, that they'll solve all the problems and no one has to confront anyone and no one has to make any decisions. And that's a fantasy. That's a silly approach. That is a silly approach to dealing with one another. You need the courage to be able to say to someone, you know what, brother, you stink. You stink, man. We got to do something about this. We had a volunteer here at Bob Enyart Live, and it's a little risky to talk about this because, you know, we love our volunteers. But this is 10 years ago when we were on Spear, downtown Denver. And we had a volunteer who would not change his clothes and he wouldn't use deodorant and he was unemployed and he was living on a fixed income. And so I won't give his name, of course, but one day, you know, I realized this is a problem. So I said, hey, Al, it wasn't Alfred. So I said, hey, let's talk. Would you mind? Could we go to Target? And I'd like to go on a shopping spree. And as a thank you for your help, I'd like to buy you some things. And we bought underwear, undershirts, deodorant, shampoo, toothbrush, toothpaste. And so he didn't know whether, and so I paid for that out of my pocket. And so he didn't know whether to be angry at me or so very thankful. And it turned out that he was so very thankful and he came to work the next day as clean as the next guy and he was a lot happier. And we did that without petitioning the Denver City Council. We did not have to petition the Denver City Council to get that accomplished. So anyway, in Florida, Brooksville City Council, they had to pass a law to do the same thing, which does crack me up, right? North Korea, our military right now, as we speak, is tracking a North Korean ship that they believe may be proliferating missiles and possibly nuclear technology against our wishes. And so we're bigger and stronger than North Korea. And so we are saying, you can't do that. And we're tracking that ship, and we'll see what happens with that story. But what right do we have to impose our opinion on another nation? What right? Well, it turns out we do have a right if in the matter, if it's a matter of a violation of the God-given principles of governance and criminal justice, and if we are in the right. For example, when Iraq and Germany are systematically slaughtering their own people, then other nations are justified in using force to intervene. Does that make sense? That should make sense. So a ship named Kang Nam left a port in North Korea yesterday and could be carrying missile parts or nuclear materials. And so our military is tracking that ship, and that's great. We'll see what happens. We'll see how it develops. Also, Barack Obama ordered some kind of anti-missile technology to Hawaii. Now, I don't know why he would do that, because the Democrats have always been against the U.S. anti-missile technology programs. They've always been against those. But Japan has warned us that North Korea may be test firing or firing a missile on July 4th, generally aimed at Hawaii. And so Barack Obama, some guy's in the news, I don't know who he is, he ordered missile, anti-missile technology to Hawaii to, if this happens, to try to shoot down their missile. I thought he was against that. The Democrats have been against anti-missile technology forever. The only few that I ever met that ended up supporting it were the ones we debated here at Bob and Yurt Live, when we explained that if you have an endangered species in the redwoods in California, and there was a direct nuclear hit, ground zero, say in San Jose, an endangered species would not survive. And that was it. Then they supported the anti-missile technology, anti-ballistic missile technology. You know how sophisticated that is? That is, I worked for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company on the Apache helicopter. When the Army had ordered it, they ordered 300 Apache helicopters. That's the combat attack helicopter, AH-64, an extraordinary machine with Hellfire missiles and just forward-looking infrared and FLIR, just a great machine. And I had the honor of working on that project and helping to meet the delivery of the first 60 Apaches to the Army. In fact, I got to brief the Pentagon procurement general, who came on site to inspect the process, and that was about maybe 3 months before delivery. And McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company did deliver the 60 helicopters. The Army accepted them, and I remember, you know, it's a little weird to brag on the air, but I remember receiving a commendation from the president of the company, Jack Reel. Jack Reel. Actually, Jack Reel was sort of a descendant in the CEO hierarchy from Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes started Hughes Helicopters, and Jack Reel was the president, CEO of Hughes Helicopters when they hired me in the 80s, and then McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company bought the company, Hughes Helicopters, during the Apache project. And so anyway, you know, I got to sit in the Apache in the simulation version and, you know, war games, playing war games, got to sit in an actual Apache and use the forward-looking infrared FLIR. We would open the hangar door and look out at night. Now, we were in Culver City, California, and in Mesa, Arizona, the two places we'd fly back and forth to work on those two sites. We'd open the hangar doors in California, right near LAX, and use the infrared and look out. And like a half a mile away, some guy's getting out of his car, going into his house, and you could see the cigarette lighter in his pocket. You could tell he had just used a cigarette lighter. It's really cool stuff. So our anti-ballistic missile technology, we are able to now, not with 100% accuracy, but with extraordinary accuracy, we are able to shoot down an incoming missile, and it's the equivalent of hitting a bullet with a bullet. That's the technical challenge. Imagine hitting a bullet fired toward you with a bullet that you fired toward it. 007 can't do that. 007 cannot do that. So anyway, the Democrats were always against this anti-missile technology that now all of a sudden some guy named Barack Obama, I don't know where I've been. I've been away for 9 days and this Obama guy's in the news. He's sending anti-ballistic missile technology to Hawaii. I thought he was against it. But Hawaii probably has some endangered species. So now they realize how important it is. All right. Our phone number here at Bob Inert Live is 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. I have in my hands something that is really pretty hard to come by. I'll let you hear it and see if you could identify what it is. That's how old is this? This is 1984, a textbook written by abortionist Warren Hearn in Boulder, Colorado, and it's titled Abortion Practice. This has gone out of print since the publisher, the original publisher, apologized for publishing the book and said they would not publish any more books. And in fact, I think they took what they had in stock and burned them. That's the story. They burned them. And that's the story even from Warren Hearn's own office. And so we recently got a copy of this book when one of our operatives went inside Warren Hearn's clinic, inside, just recently, and got a reprint that Warren Hearn does himself. But this is the original hardback Abortion Practice from Warren Hearn from 25 years ago. And I'll just quote one part of this book on page 325. Page 325. And by the way, you can't buy this book. This book is unavailable. You can't get it from Warren Hearn. We send pro-lifers undercover to various abortion clinics, and we sent an undercover pro-lifer to Warren Hearn's abortion clinic, and they have all kinds of security. And they grill you when you get there. They don't let you in. They grill you. They want to know, is your story true? And, of course, our guys are the sharpest. And so our undercover guy got in and got the reprint of Abortion Practice by Warren Hearn, Boulder abortionist, but could not get the hard copy, the hardcover, the original. It's not available. Well, we got it right here. Okay, and I'd like to quote to you just this one part on page 325. This is in a section titled Public Debates and Speaking. On the other hand, this is Warren Hearn writing after the Supreme Court decision of 1973. On the other hand, schools make frequent requests to present both sides of the abortion issue to students. We respond to all requests from schools for educational presentations concerning abortion. If the sponsors want both sides presented, however, the presentations must be made on different occasions. We insist that visual aid materials not be presented by either side. How's that for a liberal view on free speech and knowledge and dissemination of information? You child killer, Warren Hearn, you child killer. You've always known what you've done is that you're killing a child, and you want people to be in the dark about it. So we have the original Abortion Practice by Warren Hearn, and we'll use that, and we'll take some select excerpts and scan them and put them online. And it's startling. That's one fascinating quote out of dozens in this book that utterly condemn Warren Hearn and show that even he knows the guilt in what he is doing to these kids. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Barack Obama, again, the guy's in like two news stories in a row. He was doing an interview with CNBC, and a fly came on the set. And so this guy, Barack Obama, I don't know who he was. He's in some kind of a round room. He swatted the fly, and he actually killed it. Now, what a waste of an opportunity. On Bob Inyart Live, we had a bug come on the set just a minute before showtime. And I asked the cameraman to zoom in on the bug, and I said to the audience, we set aside our show prep for that day, and I said, now, there are atheists and liberals who say all life is precious, not just human life, and there are liberals who say all life is in the image of God, and so I'm going to kill this thing, this image of God thing, by the end of this show, unless one of you liberals put your money where your mouth is and ransom this bug's life. And I want 500 bucks. I want 500 bucks on a credit card in the next 60 minutes or this bug's had it. And we got the bug in a, you know, we folded some white paper and the bug, it wasn't a flying bug. It was a rapidly crawling bug and it couldn't get away. And so we had one camera zoomed in on the bug, and we go to the bug cam every bit. And we took calls about the bug and the bug's life and the value of the bug's life. And finally, one guy called in and said, I will give you $501 if you kill the bug right now. And that was great. I mean, that was the best $500 BEL ever took in, just for the sheer pleasure of it. See, Christians, we put our money where our mouth is, you know? And so we killed the bug. Well, Barack Obama, whoever this interloper is, he just squandered this opportunity on national TV. He just swatted and killed the bug. So a group called PETA, what is PETA? People Eating Tasty Animals. Wait a minute. That's not right. My producer wrote that on my sheet here. PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, they are upset that Barack Obama killed the fly, and they're asking him to be more humane next time and to capture the fly and to set it free outside. Now, today, my kids, I get out of jail, I go home, my kids are bouncing on the trampoline in the backyard. It's hot in Colorado today. With a hose underneath the trampoline and a sprinkler, so the water's coming up from under the trampoline. And they're playing outside, and they're dripping wet, and I go and hug them, and they're so excited. I'm so excited to see them. And I don't want to put another fly outside. Flies are gross. Flies land on animal waste, and they digest it. It's just gross. And so I don't want another fly outside. Kill the fly. Well, anyway, PETA is in the news. And do you remember the BEL pledge from about 18 years ago, the Bob Inyart Live pledge, to promise yourself every time PETA is in the news or any animal rights group, eat that very day, eat an extra animal. Eat an extra animal that very day. And tonight, because I just got out of jail today, we raced right to the studio from Colorado Springs, from right down the street from Focus on the Family. Tonight, we're going to go with my family, and we're going to go have a good steak. But I want to keep my pledge, unlike some people. I want to keep my pledge, so if I eat a steak, that's only eating part of an animal. I have to eat at least an entire additional animal, and I can't eat a whole side of beef, let alone two. So I'm going to have to get a shrimp cocktail appetizer. And that'll do away with six of those things. So what we need is carnage. Every time PETA or any animal rights group is in the news, that day, please remember the BEL pledge and promise yourself you will eat an extra animal that day. You could try sardines. You could do anchovies. I mean, 90% of people hate anchovies, but boy, it's a great way to fulfill this pledge. So, by the way, in jail, the topic of animal rights came up. Of course it did. You know, how could it not? People pray for open doors and opportunity. Just when they serve the food, you look at the food in jail and the movies where they show the terrible food the prisoners get. You know, we were convinced that those movies were all filmed in the El Paso County Jail, and they haven't changed the recipe at all. Boy, it looked bad, and you'd get it, some kind of gruel, and it was the same every day. It was like, well, what is this? Well, this is the same as we always have, okay? And you try to figure out, is that meat in there? Is it meat, or is it something else? And if it is meat, what kind of an animal did it come from? We don't know, but then you get to talk about animal rights. And animals do have rights. I was able to share with the inmates in El Paso County Jail. And animals have the right to be hunted, killed, cooked, and eaten. It's so very simple. And then if anybody gets upset about that, which in a jail, most people agree with that. But if anybody gets upset, you simply add that, well, I love animals. They're delicious. And in the jail, I pointed out that if God didn't want us to eat animals, he wouldn't have made them out of meat. And I got immediately a bunch of nods of agreement. And then like half a minute later, people laughing, they sort of got the punchline. If God didn't want us to eat animals, he wouldn't have made them out of meat. So anyway, PETA's in the news today. So please, if you can, eat an extra animal if you can. Okay, so I think that's it for the news of the day, and I'd like to get to a bit more of a follow-up of my last 9 days in jail after our Focus on the Family protest, in which we begged the president, Jim Daly, and Focus on the Family to take down that pledge that they admit Dr. Dobson has broken. It's a broken promise. He violated his oath in which he invoked the Lord, and they not only continue to use it, they play it every day in their welcome center, and they use it on the air. And because he invoked the Lord, it's not only a sin to break your promise or break your oath, it's not only a sin, but by using it every day as a marketing tool to prop up a no longer valid image of Dr. Dobson. I mean, people loved that kind of leader. And that's one of the reasons people followed and made Dr. James Dobson so wildly successful, was because he presented himself as that kind of a Christian leader, utterly committed to God's principle, do not murder, and to the innocent. But now, by every admission from Focus on the Family, Dr. Dobson doesn't abide by his promise. He has broken his promise. And he now does support politicians who kill some children, some unborn children. He supports them in violation of his pledge. And so they should stop using that pledge, because it's an affront to God. It is an insult to God to continue, since he called on the Lord in that pledge, it's an insult to God to continue to use it. So we've asked Focus on the Family, at the very least, please take down that pledge. And I sent a letter to the editor, to the Colorado Springs Gazette, and we'll find out in the next day or so whether the Gazette prints that letter. And also a letter from jail, handwritten, of course, to Jim Daly, president of Focus on the Family, and then a personal letter, which for me was the most enjoyable and the most important one to write, to Ambassador Alan Keyes, who was arrested for a virtually identical reason just a few weeks ago at Notre Dame and spent time in the jail there in South Bend, Indiana. So we'll find out whether or not Focus on the Family is willing to take this request seriously, I mean, we've tried everything we could think to try. We've sent them letters. We've talked to them over the radio. We've tried to email and call people. We have talked to people at Focus on the Family. We've had correspondence back from Focus on the Family. We've addressed this on television with Focus on the Family. And then we went and determined to be peaceful, but to be there and beg them to take it down. And they said they'd get someone, and they got security. And so we were arrested, and now we've been in jail. And so what's left? What's left? The Bible says if you've taken every effort, then you can go to court. Then you could sue them for fraudulent fundraising. And I don't know. That may be the next step. We'll have to find out. Jail was an extraordinary experience. It's very difficult to rescue at abortion clinics these days, but pro-lifers have so many opportunities for civil disobedience, and the jail ministry adds the icing on the cake of obedience and service to God and to the innocent, and willing to risk your own personal freedom for some amount of time. And you do a pro-life protest someplace, wherever it is, at a newspaper or a politician's office or a business or a ministry that's conspiring with child killers, wherever, and you get arrested and you get thrown in jail and you have the most fabulous ministry you could imagine, the greatest opportunity to share the gospel. So at last night, one of the inmates heard me on the telephone doing the show with Doug, and we talked afterward, and he brought up the topic of homosexuality, and he thought that it's acceptable and we should allow homosexual marriage. And I said, well, are you a Christian? He said, yes, I am. I said, do you believe the Bible is God's word? He said, yes, I do. So I said, well, I'd love to talk to you about this. And he said, I'd love to talk about it too. And we talked, and we had the most phenomenal talk. And as I turned the pages in my New King James Gideon Bible, which I've now left behind in jail, His eyes were sort of bulging to see how strongly the Lord condemns homosexuality in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as an abomination. And then we talked about what apathy is. And I asked him, if your neighbor is destroying himself and his eternal soul, is it loving to say, I don't care what you do? Or is it apathetic? Because apathy is a form of hate. Apathy is a form of hate. And we talked about the millions of people who have died tortured deaths in the last 40 years because of the public acceptance of homosexuality. And it was just the greatest conversation. And he asked if he could take the call letters of the Bob and Your Life radio show, our website, and I gave that information to dozens of inmates over the last 9 days who asked me for it. I didn't offer it. When they came up and said, hey, I want to listen to your show. How do I find it? And there was a lot of preaching of the gospel going on, and it's still going on today right now with Ken Scott in the El Paso County Jail, thanks to American Right to Life. Well, you know what I mean. So, hey, God bless you, and Maranatha, what a great school. This is Bob Inyard.